Its current state on 90.5 WKAR. Well, we just heard from Governor Rick Snyder on the waning moments of the 2014 legislative session. As you heard, road and bridge funding is at or near the top of the agenda for many in Michigan. The Citizens Research Council of Michigan has been watching the road funding debate quite closely and has recently published its analysis of both the House and Senate plans. To explain, we welcome back to Current State Bob Schneider. Bob's Director of State Affairs for the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. Bob, thanks for rejoining us.
Yeah, thanks for having us back.
Yeah, they got a tough act to follow there, but that's the way it goes. Lawmakers have said they're trying to raise between $1.2 billion and $2 billion in new revenue each year to shore up Michigan's roads and bridges. The $1.2 billion figure is, I think, the number we hear most often here at the 11th hour of the legislative session. But do we know how that range was arrived at, 1.2 to 2?
Yeah, there's some history to that. We have a pretty good idea in the state, both MDOT and regional planning organizations, as to the status of our roads as a rating system. We know this road is in good shape, this one's in fair shape, this one's in poor shape. Several years ago, there was a legislative work group that worked with MDOT analysts to try to look at, all right, well, how much new revenue do we need, looking at all our analytics, over the next, over about a 10, 12 year period, how much new revenue will we need to make sure that we have, it was 95% of the freeways and 85% of the rest of the paved road system in good to fair shape. So we've basically got that road system back into decent shape again. And in 2011, that initial report, that's where the $1.2 billion came from. That was their estimate at that time. In the ensuing years, that report's been duplicated, and that's the high end. So in 2014, I think it was in March, that same type of analysis was done. A report was released, and that actually showed the annual need being over $2 billion a year. So the $1.2 billion is sort of the low end of that range. Hmm. And what the report indicates is that need grows as you kind of continue to neglect the roads, the condition of the roads get worse, and you need more money to get them back in good shape.
So the governor is right when he says that the longer we delay this, the more money it's going to cost you to correct it.
I think that's accurate.
Yeah.
That's certainly the findings of that report.
Okay. There have been, of course, two main road funding packages that have been debated. One came from the Senate, one came from the House. Each includes a tax structure that's dependent on the wholesale price of fuel, but there's a difference between the packages. Can you revisit briefly the key differences there?
Yeah, the Senate plan has a quicker transition to an increase in the tax in the revenue and the tax rate. So in April 2015, the Senate plan initiates a rate of 9.5% of the wholesale price of fuel. That would be the new tax rate in Michigan. Projections from the House Fiscal Agency suggest that would raise about $550 million in fiscal year 2016. Wouldn't get to the $1.2 billion until fiscal year 2018. So the House plan is slower. It's a more gradual phase-in of that tax rate. Their tax rate starts at 7.5% in April and gradually rises to 12.5% in the long run. But that would raise much less revenue, only $60 million in fiscal year 2016, $360 million in fiscal year 2018. So the Senate plan is going to generate more revenue more quickly. The House plan, because it relies on a phase out of the sales tax on gas, it phases in the fuel tax rate more slowly, and it generates revenue more slowly at the same time. So that Senate plan will get us closer to the $1.2 billion range quicker than the House.
And Governor Snyder has indicated, and some number of Republicans as well, that the Senate plan is the preferable plan. Back to the House plan, though, that was proposed by Speaker Jace Bolger, that House plan generated a lot of debate because of the elimination of the sales tax on gasoline. And critics, at least, complain that puts into doubt, that puts into jeopardy revenue that would go to schools and municipalities. Are they right? Did you look at that?
We did. So from the school standpoint, Schools get just under 75% of sales tax revenue, our current 6% sales tax right now. And that's about $5.3 billion right now that schools would get. If we forecast out and we continue to get healthy revenue growth in the state on the order of 3% by fiscal year 2023, when all this is phased in under both of these plans, if under current law, the schools would go from that $5.3 billion to about $7 billion. So significant growth to the school aid fund that's sort of the backbone of school finance. With this plan and the diversion of that sales tax revenue, that figure would go down to $6.1 billion. So that's almost a $900 million decrease in school funding from where the current trend line would take us. And that's what obviously is concerning school officials. They don't want to have that revenue loss.
Bob Schneider's our guest. Bob is the Director of State Affairs for the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. We're talking about the competing proposals in the Michigan legislature concerning road funding, and the CRC has recently published a report that analyzes the potential impact of both plans. House Speaker Jace Bolger has responded to critics of his plan by saying that the sales tax collected from other areas will make up the gap lost by phasing out the sales tax on gasoline. This is near the heart of this debate. Did CRC look at Speaker Bolger's claim?
We did. In our analysis, we assumed continued healthy growth in sales tax revenue of about 3% per year. That's higher than the inflation rate. That's good growth. If you maintain that growth, as I said, the school aid fund would go from the sales tax contribution from $5.3 billion to about $7 billion without these changes. That's about a 3.2% increase per year on average over that time. With Speaker Bolger's plan, about half of that growth goes away. But you still get growth. You get about 1.6% growth. That roughly keeps you in line with the inflation rate. But that assumes healthy growth. If we were to incur a downturn in the economy, if there were a slowdown in revenue growth, so we didn't keep that healthy growth, that gap's going to be maintained and the growth of the school aid fund is going to be diminished even further.
But is there any kind of consensus that healthy economic growth is part of Michigan's short-term future? Do the revenue estimators, the economic prognosticators, do they see that? I hear that in terms of the of the nation. Is that true here in Michigan?
It is for the next. We have forecasts that are projecting good growth for the next 3 years. But this, when we talk about the both plans, but particularly the House plan with the phase out of the sales tax, you're looking out to 2020, 2021, 2022. Yeah. It's a long way off. So is there a decent likelihood of some economic turmoil between then and now? Yeah, there probably would be too.
The price of gasoline is fluctuating here very greatly recently. There's been a sharp drop recently. Obviously, that's going to go up and down over time. How much could low retail prices affect the amount of revenue the state collects, regardless of the plan that emerges?
This is a significant issue. The new tax rate will be applied to an average. They'll look at what are wholesale prices of gasoline and diesel fuel between February 2014 and then this next January 2015. Mm-hmm. They'll average the monthly average across that time range, and that will be the wholesale price that the tax rates will be applied to. When they made these estimates and they said, well, here's what we think we're going to generate from this new tax structure, the wholesale prices were, that number was probably going to be somewhere around $2.75. But as we've seen, I came in this morning, gas at Meijer's was $2.30 a gallon. In all likelihood, we're not going to hit that target. The wholesale price that we're going to apply these rates to is going to be lower. And that could cost us, we did some back-of-the-envelope calculations, maybe $60, $80 million in revenue that we're not going to get because the prices are so low now that the 9.5%, the 7.5% is going to be applied to a lower wholesale price, which generates less revenue for the state. And in all likelihood, and I don't know if the leadership's talking about this in their conversations, they'll need to bump these rates up a little bit, maybe by 0.5%, in order to get the revenue that they thought they were going to get originally.
How interesting. We know you focus on the nuts and bolts of policy at CRC, but I'd like to get any comment you'd be willing to share regarding where the political process stands right now. It has come down to the very end of the 2014 legislative session with a lot of drama attached to this thing. What do you make of that?
Well, it's interesting on this question. I think there's broad agreement that there's a need, whether it's $1.2 billion or $2
billion. There seems to be.
That's business, labor, conservative, liberal. I think there's broad consensus on that. There sometimes is debate on how much, but now it's what we tried to focus our analysis on, who pays for it. The Senate plan would really say motorists, you're going to bear, as users of the roads, you're going to bear the burden. The House plan really wants to minimize any tax increase to citizens and find other places in the budget to find this revenue for the roads. And so you're starting to see discussion of some rumors on, will we initiate a sales tax on services to help pay for the road plan? Will we increase registration taxes to help further the road plan and mitigate the need to harm schools and local governments, for instance?
Would we, if they run out of time, would you expect to hear those kinds of proposals more often in the debate that begins in 2015?
You know, it'll be very interesting. I think this new legislature is probably going to be a little more averse to tax increases. I think it's probably going to get a little more conservative. They're going to, especially in the House, is probably more likely to have folks that are going to want to look within rather than raise taxes. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce has, back in October, kind of threatened the legislature. Look, if you don't find a solution to this, we may try to do an end run around you and go to the citizens and a petition initiative to get a citizen-initiated legislation to raise taxes to deal with this problem. So that's certainly a possibility. I don't know if the ball has been rolling on that yet, but that ultimatum has been laid down at least. So it'll be very interesting to see where things head.
What could the impact of this discussion be on revenue-sharing payments to cities?
Well, that's the other element. So we talked about the schools getting a share of the sales tax. Local governments, in particular cities, villages, and townships, they also get a share of sales taxes. 10% of overall sales tax collections are dedicated to those municipalities for constitutional revenue sharing payments. Those local units now get about $1 billion in revenue sharing. Again, just like the school analysis, nothing changes with sales tax on gas and diesel fuel. They'd get about $1.3 billion in the next 10 years with natural growth of the sales tax. The House plan would divert about $121 million of that. So again, that would eat away at pretty significant, almost half of the growth in that revenue sharing payment to cities, villages, and townships, which has city and municipal officials concerned as well.
Some really important and very solid context there from our guest. Bob Schneider is Director of State Affairs for the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. Thanks very much, Bob.
Thanks so much, Mark.